recently took a look at casting breakdowns for professional theater around the country and came up with a startling fact. Nearly 80% of all musicals are either written in a pop rock style or ask for pop rock music to be used in the audition. If that percentage makes you want to crawl back into your golden age hidey hole, you are not alone. Today, we're breaking down how to get started singing pop rock music if you've been classically trained or if you have never sung rock pop music before. I'm Cynthia Corbin-Westfall, a music director and a vocal coach.
And I'm Chelsea Wilson, a voice teacher and vocal coach.
And welcome to Broadway Vocal Coach Podcast, where we help musical theater performers get unstuck and take the next steps in their career.
So back when I was in school studying musical theater, and Cynthia, you were my professor, I was in your first ever inaugural pop rock class. So this would have been like 2011, 2012, and I feel like we were all just getting on board with the idea that we needed to learn how to sing in popular music styles. We were like, yeah, this is going to stick around. We should probably train in this. So what made you want to create that course?
The course actually came out of hearing from the graduates. So I came to University of Michigan in the fall of 2004. So by the time, 2011 rolled around when you were there, I had heard from enough graduates who had said, we loved U of M. It was great. Great program. Thank you. We were sorely unprepared for all of the auditions that require us to sing rock pop. We just had nothing by the time we came out of the program. So that was the big reason, was just graduates were saying by that point, it is all I'm being asked for. I swear every audition I have to go to, they're asking for a rock pop song and I'm just not prepared.
Yeah.
And the other reason I think that I was the one who did it was I love, love, love this music so much. So I had no idea what I was doing at that point. I was like, great, I'll create a course. I'll teach this music. Not quite knowing how I was going to do that, but because I loved it so much and because a lot of the Broadway shows and tours that I had worked on when I was living in New York City were all rock pop shows, I felt like, okay, well, I've lived in that world for a while, so I felt like I'll give it a go.
Well, I thought you gave it a great go for the to be in your inaugural class. Actually, for that inaugural class, we had like a little performance at the end of the semester, and we had like a drummer and a guitarist. We had like a little band, and I was like,
we had a whole concert.
Yeah, we did. I felt so cool. And I had a major crush on that particular drummer who played for that class. Like, I may or may not have pursued something with that drummer post the class. So it was a real success for me, Cynthia.
Do you remember what you sang? Do you remember your song?
Yeah, you gave me, it's a song that I think is a great fit for me. You gave me a Martina McBride song called I Just Call You Mine.
Yeah.
You remember that? I just call you mine.
Aww.
And I sang a duet with Joe Carroll, I think. I think we sang, it was like a Sugarland song.
Broadway star. Now a television star and Broadway star, Joe Carroll.
It was a star-studded class. We sang a duet together. Yeah, and something else. I don't know. It was great. I had a great time. I graduated shortly after. And sure enough, yeah, I mean, everything at that time, and that was 10 years ago, was asking for pop rock songs. Mm-hmm. And so I got really, I love pop music. I love pop music. I mean, I listen to more pop rock. And when we say pop, we just mean like popular music styles. We're really like using that as an umbrella term here. I listen to way more pop music than I listen to musical theater music. My husband is honestly way more into musical theater music than I am. He's the one who's like, Chelsea, you should listen to this new musical. I'm like, yes, I should. Yes, I should.
But have you heard the new Taylor Swift album?
Yeah, I'm like, I'll be over here with Carly Rae Jepsen. Like, thank you so much. I'll get back to that in a moment. So I feel like same thing for me too. Like, I love that style. I love digging into what makes pop music work, what makes it so appealing. Different vocal colors, different vocal styles within all of that range. And I think the training that's available since that time has come a long way, right? Obviously, I think you know a little bit more about what you're doing than maybe in that first class. Not that I would have ever known that it was your first time teaching that class. But like, how did you dive into that and like really come up with how you were going to teach that to folks? It's kind of a hard thing to learn. Is it a hard thing to learn? You tell me, is it a hard thing to learn how to do?
I think it's a hard, what I'm encountering is it's a hard thing to learn how to teach, in all honesty, because there's a whole lot of intangible qualities to rock pop music. It's one of those things, you know it when you hear it, that sounds right.
And you know it's wrong when you hear it. You know it's not right.
Yes, but it's trying to
Not
put
right.
your finger on, like, why doesn't that sound quite right? Why does that not sound authentic? Why does that sound a little musical theater? What's happening? So that to me is what's really hard to pinpoint, because you can make some blanket statements about it, and then even if you do that, it still just might not sound quite right. So
Right.
teaching it and trying to really pin down those intangible qualities that we all love about it, that to me is what's actually really hard. So as I've kind of honed in on what I think those things are, I feel like now I have a lot of confidence in that anybody can learn how to do this.
I agree, and it takes, well, we're gonna talk about what it takes. We're gonna talk about what it takes. But first, let's talk about some of the problems that musical theater or classically trained singers face when looking at a pop song for the first time and wondering, what in the world do I do with this? And I think there's some pretty, these are some blanket statements, but I see these pretty consistently, these issues coming up. Probably the first one on this list is, well, singers do one of two things. They, one, especially sopranos, mezzo sopranos, even some really high tenors, like don't know how to access their chest voice in a real authentic way. They don't have access to that lower timbre, that lower quality in their voice when it comes to singing. And that poses a lot of problems because a lot of pop and rock music lives in that lower register and certainly relies on a strength and a power in that lower register.
And sometimes it lives in multiple worlds, that maybe the verse lives in a lower register and then the chorus is going to live in a different register. And sometimes with classical singers, they're trained to be so consistent and so balanced at all times. And in pop rock music, we often want a really big difference in the quality of sound between sections. And even that sometimes is really hard for them to navigate and to find a chestier place here and a more of a mix and sometimes even more of a head voice placement in other areas of the song. But yeah, I would agree.
And that goes into that second point, like you were saying, they either can or can't access chest voice, and then can or can't break, flip purposefully because of this idea of this, like, I have this beautiful mix from bottom to top, and I just stay in my head voice and bring it all the way down.
All the way down.
That's not going to work. It's not going to work.
Yeah, and not
Singing.
only fl being able to flip and flip purposely and sometimes flip in a way where we really hear the mechanism of the flip, where we really hear that gear shift. Breathiness is another one. Again, as classically trained singers, we are taught to keep that tone clear. So sometimes accessing a breathy tone is really, really difficult. And there's multiple ways to do breathiness. You can do breathiness on thinner folds. You can do breathiness on thicker folds. So even finding breathiness in different qualities of your voice can be really tricky. Another, this is a big one. If there's a note I hear given more often than not at professional auditions when you're asked to bring in a pop rock song, it is, that was great. Can you sing it again with 75% less volume? Or that was great. On a scale of 1 to 10, it feels like you're singing at a 9. Can you sing it at a 2?
Wow.
So over singing is a huge, huge one. And part of that is, I think, just musical theater, we sort of are taught to call it out to the back of the house. And in rock pop music, it's at a microphone. And so many of these sounds are super, super quiet, and it's just a different quality of sound.
Yeah.
So over singing is a big one. Also over enunciating is a big one.
Oh, that's like the number one thing for me. I'm like, can we get rid of all these wet T's? There's so much of that in musical theater, right?
Yes. Which is especially problematic because of the next problem, which is rhyming. So if you start to over enunciate, chances are your rhymes are no longer going to rhyme, because in musical theater, most of the rhymes are perfect rhymes,
Which means.
which means that your vowel and your consonant are going to line up. They're, you know, hat, cat, bat, the consonant a and the t are going to be exactly the same. In rock pop, in rhyming, for example, Ed Sheeran's Perfect, I found a love for me, darling, just dive right in, follow my lead. So me rhymes with lead, which is why when you would sing that, for me, follow my lead, you'll just barely say that D. And it's pervasive
It's
throughout
everywhere.
rock pop. Yeah. So you have to
Yeah.
be careful that you actually rhyme your words, which means you're probably going to rhyme the vowel and you're not going to say that ending consonant, or you're going to minimize it so that we really hear the rhyme on the vowel. So that's another reason why over enunciation starts to smell like musical theater and not like rock pop.
Starts to smell like musical theater. Yeah, I totally agree. Another big thing that I like to work with singers on, or an issue that comes in, is just rhythm and groove. Gosh, what a big title that is. What a big category that is, rhythm and groove.
Rhythm and groove.
But there's a lot that goes into this. You know, musical theater singers and classical singers are trained to sing in long legato lines. We're trained to phrase from the lyric. We're told to really observe everything that's in the music, observe this rest, observe this comma, et cetera, et cetera. And so you get a lot of long, beautiful, full sentences when a musical theater singer starts singing a pop song, and it doesn't make any sense. Like, there's no rhythm, there's no groove, there's no soul in the piece. So something I like to talk to singers about is really thinking about kind of two concepts, like legato versus staccato. What parts of the song are legato? All the words are linked, you know, we've got long lines. And what parts get more staccato? Where are you hitting consonants harder? Where are you creating more rhythm with your voice? And another thing, I just heard somebody talk about this in the space of tap dance, this idea that rhythm is made in the spaces. You know, if you are just constantly singing and constantly making sound, then there is no rhythm, because rhythm is made in the spaces between the words. And that's how you get it's anything interesting to listen to, especially because, like, when you're auditioning, especially when you're auditioning, it's different when you're in the show and you've got a live band, but like, you're auditioning, it's just you and the piano. Like, you've got to be the percussion as well. You've got to be rhythmic in your singing. And so that's a big issue I hear with people.
And I would say that often it's a little case by case, song to song, but there are many, many songs where the voice really is part of the rhythm section of the band versus in musical theater where it's sort of, like you said, has a long line over top of the band. In rock pop, so often, you think of like Bruno Mars music or Michael Jackson, like that is living within the groove of the rhythm section. So it's not just about singing your lyric, singing your line. It's about thinking about where you fit into that rhythm section.
Yeah, I totally agree. One last point here, and this needs to be a whole episode, to be honest, is not knowing how to act the song or perform the piece. Musical theater, classically trained folks come in, and it's just like a big question mark on their faces and their bodies. What in the world am I supposed to do
We're
during
going to do a
this piece?
whole episode on this. This is actually something I've spent a lot of time on, especially in the last maybe 5 years or so, is coming up with ways to codify this so that here's what makes me absolutely bonkers, is this idea of you either act it like a musical theater song or you quote unquote feel the groove. To me, that is like there has to be something in between those two things. Because, first of all, what does feel the groove mean? That's when people feel like they're hung out to dry. They sort of step touch and don't quite know what to do with their body. And then they get worried that they're moving too much. And so then they get a little stilted and still because they think maybe I should just try to sing the song. But then that's weird. That's where you get into that land of it just feels awkward. So let's do a whole episode on that. I'm actually super passionate about this one, and I have about 12 ways to do it that I think give, again, every actor something that works for them that they can actually make sense of and implement.
Yeah, because spoiler alert, there's no one right way, and every song is going to call for something different. And every audition and every show is going to call for something different. So you
So
got to
then
be
it's like, how
flexible
do
for
you
that.
know? How do you know what it's
Yeah.
calling for? So that's why I've kind of developed some really codified systems you can use to help figure out what does the song need, what does the show need that I'm auditioning for, and then what are my choices and how am I gonna act that song? And that's gonna be a fun episode. We'll do that next.
Stay tuned for that. Stay tuned for
Stay
that. So
tuned.
these are a lot of the problems that we see when musical theater or classically trained folks come in and are trying to sing pop music for the first time. So how, if that's you, if that's me, if that's me, Cynthia, where should I begin? Where to even start improving these skills and learning how to do this in a more effective way?
Yeah, here's where I'm going to offer something up that I feel like a lot of us in musical theater land are told never to do, which P.S. I'm going to disagree with globally anyway, which is this idea of don't listen to the original, don't listen to other recordings of it because you don't want to get that stuck in your head, or you don't want to make choices based on what they're doing, and you want to be fresh and you want to have your own ideas, which in general I take issue with on a global scale. I just feel like that's how we learn. So even in musical theater, even in Golden Age, if you're going to sing If I Loved You from Carousel, I would love you to listen to 7 or 8 different recordings of that and start to hear what are all the different options, what are some performance practices that seem to hold true. So same for rock pop is, I think listening, you just have to listen to some of these styles. Listen with an analytical ear. So rather than just letting the music sort of wash over you while you're at the gym or in the shower, pay attention. Where are they scooping? Are they scooping? Are they sliding? What kind of tone of voice are they using? Is it breathy? Is it clear? Does it have a little gravel in it? Is there some vocal fry? Are they breathing every other word, or are they breathing on long phrases? What are those rhymes that we talked about sounding like? All the different vocal effects that you can hear. So listening, I think, is number one, and paying attention, listening with a really analytical ear, is number one.
Yeah, and a close number two is listen to a lot of artists. Listen to 7 people do the same song, whether somebody's covered it on their album or whether someone sang it on American Idol or The Voice or just on a YouTube cover. YouTube is the greatest catalog of so much interpretation. You can just really become inspired, especially if you're locked into, let's say, how Demi Lovato sang a certain song of theirs. Well, you could hear somebody else sing that same song and maybe be a little less intimidated by it. Like, oh, okay, well, here's 4 other voices doing this song that I thought needed to be sung in a certain way. Demi Lovato has a certain intensity and power and like weight to their voice, and you can put that into your own voice, but you're only gonna get that creativity going when you start to expand who you're listening to.
Which, while we're talking about YouTube, my friend Tom Burke, who is a fellow voice teacher who I love, coined the phrase YouTube University. We're going to go to YouTube University. And this is an exercise I actually got from him, which I love so much. I use this all the time myself. I give it to students and clients. I think this is one of the most fun ways to start implementing some of these things in your own voice. You're going to go to YouTube University and you're going to pull up a recording and you're going to press play and you're going to listen to just a phrase. So, for example, if we're back to our Ed Sheeran song, I Found a Love for Me, you're going to listen to just one little phrase. You're going to pause. And you're going to sing it back exactly like they just did it. If they were breathy, you're going to be breathy. If they did a scoop, you're going to scoop. If they had a little fry, you're going to do a little fry. And some of these sounds might feel unfamiliar. You might not quite be able to make them. This is where it's great to have a voice teacher that can be like, I don't know how to do vocal fry. In a healthy way, can you help me? But just to start making these sounds in your own voice. So once you've kind of figured out that phrase, play again, do another phrase. Pause and just keep repeating. Do little phrases at a time and just see if you can start to emulate. I like to think of emulate versus copy. It's not about copying, it's just about exploring how many colors you can make in your own voice, how many little style things you can do in your own voice, how and to pay attention to what are things that feel really familiar and what are things that I've never really done in my voice before, so that you just start expanding your repertoire and explore.
Yeah, and I think like going back to what you said about how a lot of musical theater performers have been told like don't listen, like you need to just find the story and your own phrasing and your own interpretation of this yourself, and there is validity to that. Sure. This is a kind of a sterile way to get started, but I think it's really necessary if you're starting from ground zero. Like you said, emulate, listen, discover what's possible in your own voice, work with somebody who can help you find those things. Because otherwise, like you don't have any tools with which to paint from. There's nothing. Even if you like started on your own, you don't have any colors on that palette yet. You've got to go find the colors and emulate them to get started. So I totally agree.
And the other thing I love about that exercise, though, is that you aren't the one coming up with these choices. So there's no judgment.
Great
You know,
point.
otherwise, I feel like singers often they'll try a little scoop or they'll try a little three-note riff or something. They'll be like, oh, that sounded terrible. Whereas if you do this emulation exercise, Ed Sheeran did that three-note riff and Ed Sheeran did that scoop. You're just doing what he did. There's no judgment on you at all. You're simply doing someone else's choices. So it allows you to make these colors and explore it in your voice without judging. Oh, that was a terrible choice I just made. I tried to do a little style thing and it came out weird. You know, it just takes all the judgment away and you can just play for a while.
I love that. I think that's a great point. And our final point here on where to begin, you've touched on it already a little bit, is working with a voice teacher, working with a vocal coach, working with somebody who has experience in this realm and won't just say like, yeah, can you give me some grit? Can you give me some growl? But someone who has tools to help you find that sound, discover that sound, and do it in a sustainable and healthy way.
Yeah.
That's so crucial. Everyone needs that kind of support.
Yeah. I remember when I was in college, I was a classical pianist. And I, at the time, had this is way before I even knew musical theater was on my radar. I came to musical theater somewhat late in the game. But in college, I was a completely classical pianist, but I decided I was going to take a jazz course because I really kind of wanted to learn how to play some jazz. And spoiler alert, I got a D+ in that class. It did not go well. And I'll tell you why it didn't go well, and I'll tell you how it actually was such a formative experience and has affected me as a teacher all these years later. I felt like I was told over and over and over to just feel it. And if I hear somebody tell me, just feel it one more time, I'm going to take a fork out of my drawer and I'm going to stick it in my eye. Because what does that mean? Just feel it.
It doesn't mean anything. Yeah.
So that to me is the equivalent of just feel the groove or sing with a little more edge, or you just got to loosen up. Like, I don't know what any of that means. And as an actor, I don't know how I would interpret that any better than as a pianist when I tried to interpret what just feel it means. So that is why I think, you know, finding a teacher who can really take stock of where you are right now and help you either find different vocal qualities, help you find different little style traits that you can use. Just getting really specific so that you have something very actionable to implement into your singing so that it doesn't feel like this general wash of, I guess I'm just going to loosen up and step touch and feel it, the groove.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a recipe for a lot of self. What's the word I'm looking for? Consciousness. That's a recipe for a lot of self-consciousness,
and it's really kind of demoralizing. It's like, yeah. It makes you just feel bad because it always made me feel like, I guess I just don't get it.
I just don't have it within
me. Yeah, I guess I just don't get it. I guess I just can't do it. I guess it's just not me.
Right.
All of which I think is just not true. I think anyone can learn to sing this way. And if you can be really specific about the tools along the way and the acting tools, the vocal style tools, the vocal quality tools, it can actually be really, really fun.
Mm-hmm. I agree. This is something that I love that we work on with our students and our clients within the BBC membership and even in our program for high school students, BBC Academy. Within studio classes, we are constantly working with our clients on pop material. Again, back to that stat, 80% of musicals and auditions are asking for this. So that's something we're constantly working with our clients on. And inside our high school program, BBC Academy, we dedicate an entire month to this style. So we're really getting into the nitty-gritty with our high school students about how this is different from musical theater, why it's important, and how to start developing confidence even from that age, from that time, so that they don't get into college and post college with the fear that I certainly had going into that. So I totally agree, Cindy. I think everyone has this within them, and there's better tools out there than just feel it.
And I'll leave you with one last tidbit. I think we mentioned this story in an earlier podcast, actually, but keeping in mind that there are so many different styles of pop rock singers, you don't have to riff like Christina Aguilera. You can sing a beautiful long line like Barry Manilow. There are plenty of songs that fit the bill. So, you know, if an audition asks for a pop rock song, it doesn't have to be the most pop rock ever known to man. It can, as long as it's a pop rock song and lives in that world somehow, I promise you there's material that's going to fit you really well and play to your strong suits, even if it's a new style for you to sing, or even if some of it doesn't come super natural to you. There's absolutely material out there that will be a really natural fit for you.
Agreed. Amen. There you have it, folks. If you enjoyed today's episode, take a screenshot and tag us on Instagram at BeWayVocalCoach. Share it with a friend and consider leaving us a review. Please leave us a review. If something resonates with you from today's episode, we want to hear about it. DM us on Instagram or send us an email, hello@BeWayVocalCoach.com. And if you're ready to get expert mentorship and ongoing training, especially with some pop rock material, then you are invited to join us inside the BVC membership. Book a free consult with us. We can't wait to hear your story and help you take the next step in your career.